Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Hard to believe we're in August. August 2nd, the date today. And the summer is rolling along, which means school back in session or near back in session for most everybody in the area. High school football, as we've been talking about, is just around the corner. There's no question about that. And we'll be rolling here very soon. College football creeping up on us a lot closer. And you know what's behind football, obviously high school and college basketball seasons that we all can't wait for here in Southern Indiana. I don't think there's any question about that either. Welcome into the show today. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us today on the program, it's Thursday, which means we get the great Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. A lot of IU basketball chatter with him in segment number two, coming up after some news and headlines here in the first segment. Later in the program, each Thursday for the last number of weeks, we've been going from coach to coach in Southern Indiana football. This week, it's Silver Creek coach John Dablo, who will join us later on in the show for a preview on the Dragons this year. Obviously, a reemerging program in Southern Indiana. They didn't even have football for a great number of years. The program slowly made its return with the lower levels. They've been in varsity action now for really a number of seasons and have been very competitive and done quite well. And Coach Dablo will check in today for a chat about his team as we continue our tour of Southern Indiana High School football coaches to kick off the 2018 season, which is really and truly just around the corner. Scrimmage is coming up very soon, and some of the teams have been scrimmaging and practicing over the summer. All of them have, but the official scrimmage coming up very soon. That will be followed by the opening night of kickoff coverage, I should say, of our coverage here on the Big Ux, but the opening game of the season for all of our local teams as well. That's the guest lineup for this Thursday show, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Really, how much has been out there, a lot of the recruiting stuff has kept us busy. A fairly slow day as far as news and developments. One of the big things on a national stage is the Ohio State football situation. Urban Meyer has been placed on administrative leave. That investigation into a coach that worked for him that was recently fired with domestic violence issues multiple times in his past, somewhat covered up, it looks like, by Coach Meyer, is obviously dominating the landscape of national coverage right now. Not only is it a big deal, not only is it Urban Meyer, not only is it Ohio State in the Big Ten Conference, but also the football season is here. It's just around the corner. And so that's for something like this to break this close to the season and him to be put on paid administrative leave this close to the season. And really, to be quite honest, it looks like his future there is definitely in doubt this close to the start of the season is crazy. So that is one to watch. Obviously, Indiana, I don't want to say affected by it, but involved in a little bit of it as far as an interesting angle to follow because, number one, they're in the Big Ten Conference and play Ohio State from time to time. Number two, former head coach Kevin Wilson, when he was fired at Indiana, went to Ohio State to work for Urban Meyer. In fact, I saw one source out there naming potential replacement coaches for Meyer, whether it was an interim basis for the season or a permanent basis moving forward, and Kevin Wilson was one of those candidates. So interesting to see, and definitely just a bombshell news item as far as college football and Big Ten football goes with the season just around the corner. Another IU basketball video out yesterday at Indiana MBB is the official IU Twitter account, and it was Lake Day with the squad. That was what it was highlighted at least, or titled at least, and it looked like they were at, I guess, Lake Monroe, and had the jet skis out, the tubes out, and having a lot of fun. So obviously summer workouts pause for a bit before they get into some additional things coming up here, I'm sure, in just a couple weeks. But the guys getting ready to have some fun with school starting soon, and good to see them out there with a break. But again, these videos continue to kind of be the talk of the offseason, with Romeo headed there, at least from the southern part of the state. I can't recall a time where IU basketball has been a hotter topic, and where IU basketball has been something that people are already thinking about. How will Romeo fit in? Will Romeo stay for a season? How far in the tournament can Indiana get? Are they going to be as improved as we think they may be? Those are some of the things floating out there on a regular basis. And to be quite honest, these videos are our connection, whether you're covering the program, a fan of the program, what's going on. There have been a lot of videos, of course, in the gym of action going on there, some of the workouts. But there also have been a number of videos just kind of where you get to know the guys and their personalities a little bit more. Obviously, Deron Davis is, it seemed like, and Jawan Morgan, for that matter, led some of the videos, the funnier moments in the videos at least. And as you would expect, the freshman, and Romeo should be no surprise, even though he's very familiar with having a camera in his face, doesn't always have a lot to say when he's asked a funny question by one of his teammates or the camera lands in his face on these videos. But it's been fun to watch, and again, it's a connection to the team in the offseason, just as Cliff Marshall, the strength and conditioning, the athletic performance coach, I guess is his official title, just as his updates have really got people excited about the progress off the floor in the weight room as well. So a lot to be excited about. I've got a good feeling that the IU basketball folks, including Archie Miller, know this and are putting these videos together to build up the interest all the way through Hoosier Hysteria. And, of course, as we've talked about, it helps recruiting a lot. There's no question about that. The youngsters out there that maybe had Indiana at their games over the last month in July at some of these recruiting events, checking them out. One big way kids are going to look at programs and follow programs, obviously, are on social media and seeing the guys at the lake having fun and seeing what type of workouts the guys are doing on the court and seeing the facilities like Assembly Hall. So interesting, no question about it. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, IU insider for the Star, he's a regular guest for us on Monday. He really had a good piece yesterday in the Indy Star that you can read online at indystar.com/sports. Youth makes IU football expectations difficult to pin down. We don't talk a ton of football on the program, especially in the off season. We'll begin to talk IU football a couple segments a week now that the season is arriving with Matt Weaver and others. But if you're trying to get prepared for the season and you're not a regular follower of IU football, his story talks about the youth and how really it makes it difficult for even people like Zach and others that follow the Big Ten very closely to project where Indiana could likely finish in the conference, because there are so many unknowns that could go one way or the other. So he talks about he writes about the best case and worst case scenarios for IU football for the upcoming season. Definitely a good read to get you thinking more about football with the season just around the corner. I've had some questions from some of you guys this week. I teased the roster a little bit yesterday as far as the local guys that are on the main high school team, but the Battle of the Bridges All-Star Classic is this weekend. It's been a great back-to-school event, 21st season for the event. It'll take place at Mid-America Sports Center across the river. It's a quick drive into Louisville. And if you want to see some basketball, if you've got a hunger for some basketball, wish the season was a little bit closer than what it is, a number of games will take place going all the way down to the youngsters. It's basically a Southern Indiana versus Louisville format that they play in the Battle of the Bridges, and it starts very early in the day with some of the, I think, going down to third grade, second grade boys and girls all-star games where a collection of some of the top players from each side of the river play each other. The main games that you'll probably be most interested in are the high school games. There's a Future Stars game for some of the younger players at the high school level. There is high school games or star games for the varsity level players in the area. The Future Star girls game, it's at 4. Future Star boys game, I saw that roster. It's absolutely loaded with talent. It is at 5:15. Then the main girls game is at 6:30. The main boys game is at 8 o'clock. Admission is $8. I know some of you have asked where it's at and how much it costs to get in. But $8, you can see a lot of basketball on Saturday, no question about it. As far as the main boys team goes, a lot of seniors, a couple underclassmen, players again, and I mentioned this yesterday, Kobe Barnes, who's nearing his college decision, senior at Floyd Central. He will be one of the leaders on that roster. Also playing Trey Horrigan of New Albany, Julian Hunter of New Albany, two of the handful of 11th graders playing in that game. Derek Stevenson, senior at New Albany, he is in the game as well. Then you jump to Jeffersonville, Trey Coleman. We know the type of player he is and what his ceiling is. 11th grader now at Jeffersonville. He will be playing in the game as well. A couple Silver Creek players, Ty Kessinger and Zane Gross, both seniors. Bailey Conrad from Christian Academy, a junior. He will be in the game. I left off Jacob Jones from Jeffersonville. He's also a junior at Jeff. So a number of local players selected to a very good roster for the Indiana team. That's the main game. They'll play at 8 o'clock. So if you want to see some basketball this weekend, if you're wishing the high school season was a little closer than what it was, a lot of talent that we'll be talking about for the 2018-19 season will be on display at the Battle of the Bridges. And again, it takes place at Mid-America Sports Center across the river off of Hurstbourne Lane between Hurstbourne and Blankenbaker Parkway. Easy place to get to. Admission is $8. Check it out this weekend if you're missing some basketball interest. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters always the sponsor of our headlines each day on the program, and they are your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturdays. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, it's where fun happens. I've been mentioning each and every day here on the program that high school football is just around the corner. We officially kick it off on the Big X next Wednesday. August 8th is the date from 7 to 9 p.m. We'll have the Zaxby's kickoff show. We'll be live at Zaxby's New Albany location, which is 2870 Technology Avenue. It's right off of Interstate 265 at Charlestown Road. Very convenient location to get to. All the coaches from Clark and Floyd counties will be there. We've asked each coach to bring at least two key players with them. We'll interview them as well. We'll spend about 12 to 14 minutes with each of the local high school football programs. It will be a lot of fun, and we hope that you can come to Zaxby's next Wednesday, grab dinner, stay for a good portion or some of the interviews, all of it if you like. And if you can't make it, obviously you can tune in live on the Big X, 1450, 96.1, streaming online, on the apps, a lot of different ways to get us. And if you miss all that, we'll have it recorded for you as a podcast, and you can go back at your leisure and listen to the show. I'm sure it'll replay a handful of times between next Wednesday and the start of the high school football season here on the Big X as well. But high school football is here. We are within 2 weeks. Scrimmage is coming up very soon. They will be followed by the start of the regular season. Don't forget every Friday night, Kentuckiana Football Fridays with Matt Dennison. I'll be here in studio. We'll have guests out at different games. We'll have play-by-play folks out at different games for updates. We'll have a pregame show at 6 o'clock with interviews with coaches and media folks and just a lot of stuff. It's going to be 5 or so hours of local coverage every Friday night here on the Big X. High school football done a different way. We started it last year and really were able to include more schools and get more players' names and interview more people, and that's the format we'll keep this year. We'll try to beef it up a little bit for you even more. That's the first segment. We'll head to a commercial break. When I come back, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is our guest. Alex is presented by CC Power Sports. A lot of stuff to get to, as always. With the season still a little bit far away, there's never a silence with Indiana basketball. We'll get some recruiting stuff. We'll talk about the roster for next year. Just a lot of things to catch up with Alex on. Always one of our great segments. Stay with us for Alex coming up next right here on a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back here on this Thursday show. Always Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with us on Thursdays. The Chat with Alex presented by CC Power Sports. They have two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store is located right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County. They carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders welcome, and of course, racers welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, you have done a great job and are in the middle of it right now with a series I always look forward to on the InsideTheHall.com website. That is Freshman Focus, a real in-depth look at the incoming freshmen for the IU basketball program. Often you'll go back and talk with their high school coach or someone that has been very important in their development through their high school and through their recruiting years. I think the Romeo Langford story, which I have not read yet, went online earlier today. And those are great work, and maybe promote those for a minute. And anything interesting that stood out to you about Romeo or about any of the incoming freshmen as you've wrote these freshman-focused pieces?
Yeah, with the Romeo one, it's actually interesting. I didn't do anything new for that one because I had already done so much in terms of coverage of Romeo throughout the season. I actually reran the more than 3,500-word Q&A that I did last spring with Coach Shannon because I felt like, I didn't want to rehash necessarily all those quotes, and I felt it was important for people who maybe hadn't had a chance to read that to kind of get an idea, of what he said in case they missed it at that time. And I thought that Coach Shannon, someone who had coached him for 4 years, had as good a perspective as anybody. So, I republished that for Romeo's. The other three I've done so far, Demise Anderson, I had a chance to speak with his coach, Eric Brand, who coached him last year at South Bend Riley, is now the coach at Southport Jake Forrester. I was able to talk to the Westtown coach, Seth Berger, and the other one, Jerome Hunter, Andreas James, who I think you've had on your show before from the Ohio Nova AAU program. I spoke with him. And for each of these stories, you want to try to get someone that has been as close to these kids as possible and kind of get them to open up a little bit, not only on the basketball perspective, but one thing I kind of made note of today or this week, earlier in the week on the forum on our site, was as I've gone through and done these interviews, and we've talked about this with Romeo quite a bit, and you know this very well, Matt, but I've kind of found a common theme among all these guys. From what I'm being told, their off the court character, how they are as kids, has kind of been a consistent theme. Demise Anderson's high school coach talked about one reason that, he didn't go to La Lumiere for his senior year, which he had the opportunity to do, was kind of being able to stay in South Bend and be a part of that community. He talked a lot about some of the community service stuff that they did last season as a team. Same thing with Jerome Hunter and Jake Forrester, just from all accounts, talking to these folks, good kids off the court, and we'll have Robert Fennessey's profile up tomorrow. Same goes for him. So that to me, more important than basketball with those guys is what they bring, maybe from an off the court perspective. Sometimes I think we get too caught up in recruiting rankings and, whether a guy's ranked in a mock draft or things like that, and we don't really have a chance to maybe humanize these kids enough. And and realize that they're people too, and they do a lot of good things off the court. So I thought that was another important thing to emphasize as I went through this series. And I think that's something Indiana fans are going to be able to be proud of over the next couple of years, is Archie Miller seems to be bringing in a lot of guys who are, you know, really about winning and being good people as well. So I think that's really important.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. You can find these previews at Inside the Hall on Twitter if you follow Alex or want to follow Alex. Also, InsideTheHall.com, the website. Again, good stuff. A lot of in-depth information on all the incoming freshmen for this 2018 class for Indiana. One of the things, and I guess when we talk about this class forever, I will always identify this class with Romeo, given where my location is in the state and what the purpose of this show is and how much we, like you, covered Romeo through his high school years and his recruitment. And so when I think about Romeo, and this, I guess, is true for all of them, you know, he's someone that took basketball extremely serious, obviously. He played basically year-round. He got to play on a world stage at times, getting opportunities to go overseas at least three different times that I can remember to play for events or camps or different opportunities outside of the United States. He was involved in the USA basketball circuit, so he was playing with the best in the country. He was involved in the Adidas Gauntlet, so on that circuit he was playing with and against really good players. The opportunities for him were just unbelievable that he got to experience. He also had a family, obviously, that was really involved in his recruitment and in his life in general. He had coaches, he had trainers, he had everything that a player needs to be really serious about the game of basketball. With all that being said, I saw him and you and I together, I think, that day at the Romeo court opening, and even after that little bit of time away, you could tell a slight difference in his body. And he mentioned off the record to me, you know, it's good, a lot of work, it's been a lot of fun, it's amazing what we're doing. My point is, for someone that was that serious with basketball and has been ranked nationally and had all these expectations on him for years, even for him, when he got to Indiana and got to work with Cliff Marshall and got on the court for these workouts and got a diet plan, I'm sure, that goes along with the workouts and all the other things that come with being a player at Indiana, even for him, I'm sure this has been an eye-opening experience. I can't imagine the difference that him and all the freshmen that you are writing about have went through really within the last month and a half or so in their lives. I think you talk about humanizing them a little bit. I can't imagine what the changes that they've been through from their hometowns to Bloomington has been like.
Yeah, there's a lot of adjustment for any kid going into college, whether it be someone who's going as a student or someone who's going as an athlete, a premier athlete. I think the big thing that has stood out to me just from these conversations, and a lot of them obviously are some of the stuff that's being told to me is obviously kind of off the record and you can't really use, so I don't want to get into specific numbers on specific guys, but a common theme that I've kind of been noticing from talking to a lot of these people is kind of different numbers of how much weight these guys have put on, things that they've been taught already in terms of how they need to conduct themselves and taking care of their bodies and their diet, things like that. Those aren't things that as good of a job as a lot of these high school programs do, you know, they don't have the resources that you have at an Indiana university. They don't have somebody who's working, you know, to train a guy on essentially, you know, a 7-day-a-week basis. So whether that be, you know, maybe not working with them every day, but they're giving them a plan of what they need to be doing every day, what they need to eat, what they need to stay away from, how much sleep they need to get. All of these things are probably, you know, not as emphasized at the high school level. So for a lot of them, it's an eye-open experience. Not only are they adjusting to a new environment, new surroundings, new people that they're meeting, new place to live, all these different things. At the same time, they're going through adjustments on how they need to conduct themselves. I mean, this is, let's not forget, college athletics is a big business. These guys are on scholarship. They're there, obviously, to be students, but they're also there to be successful on the court. That's why they have a scholarship. So they got to take it seriously. I'm sure it's more eye-opening for some than others. I think Romeo probably and I don't know this for a fact, but I would think he would adjust a little bit more easily than some of the other guys, just based on what I know about his background and kind of how he's conducted himself over the years. I mean, his family's obviously been very supportive in terms of giving him the resources necessary, having him work with trainers, having him, putting him in the most competitive situations to be successful. But for some of these guys, that might not have been the case. So, you use the summer. That's one reason you get on campus in the summer, right? You adjust, you get ready, and you prepare for what's ahead. So that's going to be real interesting to watch the offseason progress some of these guys have made.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. We have been recapping and kind of thinking through what all transpired in July to close out the recruiting period. Of course, the discussion quickly switched from where the coaches were at, who they offered, who they made priorities in July, to the future with the Matt Norlander story from CBS Sports about the proposal that it looks like is going to go forth to the NCAA for approval, which has kind of stolen the cake here this week. But back on July for a minute, what is your biggest takeaway as you tracked where the coaches were at and maybe some of the new scholarship offers that were out, or maybe it was where the coaches were at, who they were prioritizing? No surprise that Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks right there at the top of the list. But biggest takeaway from the July recruiting period from an IU basketball perspective that you saw?
Well, I would say a couple things. One, you mentioned Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks. I think it's pretty obvious at this point that Indiana's all in on both of those guys. They're one and one A on the recruiting board. I don't see that changing. Beyond that, I think the thing that stood out the most is Indiana's still searching for wing and guard help. I did an interesting podcast interview the other day with Corey Evans of Rivals, who I think does a really good job. He's an East Coast guy out of Pennsylvania, so I think he's pretty familiar with Archie Miller and kind of knowing what he's looking for. And he basically gave me three guard names that he said to really be honed in on: Armon Franklin, who we all know about, Brandon Newman, who is a kid from Valpo that's transferring to Montverde Academy, and James Booknight, who's one of the guys you mentioned that has recently picked up a scholarship offer based on his play in July. I think Indiana's focus in this class is going to be with those two big the two big names that we know about, and then trying to fill some gaps in terms of guard and wing help. I think the DJ Carton situation was one where Indiana really wanted to get him because he was an elite point guard, but I don't necessarily think they're going to now put themselves in a corner to where they have to get a point guard. I think beyond that, they're going to be looking for guys who can make plays with the ball on the perimeter, not necessarily exclusively a point guard, and also some shooting help, because I think the expectation is that Romeo Langford's going to be a one-year player, and a guy like a Brandon Newman, I think, could fit perfectly in, in terms of taking on responsibility, at least as a freshman, to provide some depth on the wing and shooting. So those are really the main things I took away from July. I don't necessarily think anything groundbreaking happened. Obviously, Indiana watched a lot of guys and made sure they were seen by the top guys that they want. But I think we're going to be on Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks watch here for the next couple months and see where things go as Hoosier hysteria grows closer.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, our guest. We talk IU basketball each Thursday with Alex when he joins us here on the Hoosier Report. Now that July is over, we've talked about the potential maybe for some unofficial or official visits between now and the Hoosier Hysteria event. We know Hoosier Hysteria, what that will mean to the program from a recruiting perspective, obviously. But what are some other things? The players, I understand, get a break. Obviously, we saw a video of them out at a lake enjoying themselves. I think some of them maybe even got to go home for a little bit. But what's next for the team as the school gets underway here very soon? Is there individual workout opportunities? What will they be doing as they get back into school coming up here very soon?
Yeah, I think right now it's kind of a winding down period. You saw that video that was published late last week. I think that was kind of the conclusion of the summer program, at least in terms of an official, officially being conducted by IU. I think the next thing that you're going to see is some of these guys getting back home. We've seen a little bit of, Instagram, different guys have kind of posted some things that they're back home. So I think you're right, Matt, in saying that some of these guys have got a chance to get a little break. And then summer classes, or fall classes, I think, start in a little less than 2 weeks from now. So we'll see guys get back on campus, and then I'm sure they're going to get back to the individual workouts and practice. I believe this year starts September 25th is the first day they can actually practice. Been moved up a little bit this year because most people may not know this, but the official start of the season now is the first Tuesday in November, And so it's usually the first Friday in November that they can play, or the second Friday in November they can play. I know it's been moved up a couple of days, and so games are going to start happening a little bit earlier than usual. So practice, start of practice will be here before you know it. And we obviously got Hoosier Hysteria on the 29th, but really it's going to be a little bit of a break here. I know the coaching staff and some of those guys are also taking a little bit of a break, and then they'll get back on campus. Everyone else will arrive on campus, so that's going to be a change. You know, these players have been on campus all summer, kind of seeing Bloomington when it's not as crowded and flooded with new students. That's going to change here in a couple weeks, so they'll get their first taste of what it's like to be a, you know, a college student with a full Bloomington campus. Football games will start happening, visits will start happening. There'll be a lot going on, and before you know it, it'll be the Hoosier Hysteria and the game starting. So it's going to be a busy time here. We're kind of in the dog days of summer, obviously not a ton going on in terms of news, but I think things are going to start to heat up pretty soon here, from at least from a recruiting and visit perspective. You'll see some guys coming on campus for visits.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. Final question or final discussion point for just a moment has nothing to do with IU and nothing to do with basketball, but this Urban Meyer story and the situation surrounding it that it looks like could really rock the Ohio State football program and perhaps Urban Meyer's future, and of course Big Ten football on a greater level than that. It's just been unbelievable to watch this thing be reported on by Brett McMurphy and see everything as it's been rolled out, basically.
Yeah, the funny thing to me about Brett McMurphy breaking the story is ESPN's now bringing him on all of their platforms to talk about it. And he worked at ESPN for a long time, and you hardly ever saw him on TV. And, you know, he was part of the layoffs, and he's one of the best in the business in terms of breaking college football news. So good for him to kind of get the last laugh in terms of things from a journalism perspective. But yeah, from a scandal type perspective, it's going to be interesting to see how Ohio State handles this. Obviously, we don't have all the information yet, and I think that's kind of why they've taken this first preliminary step, so they can gather information and then make a decision from there. But obviously, it's going to be a tough situation for them to navigate and figure out the best move going forward. The thing I always kind of look at is, you know, how elite is the coach? How great of how great is his impact on the program? We saw with Rick Pitino at Louisville, he got a lot of kind of leash until they finally decided they couldn't keep him anymore. Urban Meyer's, you know, one of the two or three best minds in college football. He's won national championships. He's one of the best recruiters. He's just one of those kind of stars in the profession. And so Ohio State's got a tough decision to make, obviously. You know, it's going to be one that's met with, I think, skepticism no matter what they do. If they move on from him, I think there's going to be a lot of Ohio State fans and other people who are going to be second-guessing them. And if they keep them, obviously it's ammunition for other programs to recruit against them and kind of criticize kind of their ethics for how they've handled the program. So it would be interesting, fascinating to watch unfold. And it's definitely not good timing for them. I think football practice at Ohio State starts either today or tomorrow. So they've got an interim coach. Obviously, former IU coach Kevin Wilson's their offensive coordinator. He didn't get the interim job. I think obviously him and Greg Schiano, the defensive coordinator, kind of had scandals of their own at previous stops, and that's why they're coordinators now and not head coaches. So I think it was a smart move for Ohio State not to elevate either one of those guys. But now they've got somebody, at least on an interim basis, who's not experienced running a program at this level. So they've got some tough decisions to make, and I think it's going to be interesting to watch play out. But, you know, it's one of those things where people jump to conclusions quickly. You know, I'm guilty of, you know, retweeting different things on Twitter that you see before maybe you have all the facts and information come out. And we'll see how it all plays out. But hopefully they make the right decision based on the information that they have and can move forward in the best way possible for their program.
No question, a huge story as college football season creeps toward us here for this upcoming year. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, his segment, our chat with Alex each week, is presented by CC Power Sports. Don't forget to stop into CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Summer is here, so visit CC Power Sports and let the fun begin. Alex Bozich, thanks so much for the chat. Don't forget to check out the Freshman Focus series at InsideTheHall.com. And, Alex, we'll talk with you again next Thursday.
All right, Matt. Thanks. Have a great day.
We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and continue our tour of Southern Indiana High School football coaches for the upcoming high school season. John Dablo, the coach at Silver Creek, will join us coming up next as we talk a little bit about the Dragons and their expectations for the upcoming season. Of course, all of these chats with high school coaches leading up to our Wednesday, August 8th, Zaxby's kickoff show at the Zaxby's in New Albany. That's when we'll bring all the coaches together, all the top players together for 2 hours of live radio to kick off the 2018 season. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Coach Dablo, Silver Creek football, coming up next here on 1450 and 96.1, the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back and going to talk some high school football in this segment. Don't forget, Wednesday, August 8th, we'll be live at Zaxby's in New Albany, the Zaxby's kickoff show, to celebrate the start of the 2018 Southern Indiana high school football season. We'll have every head coach from Clark and Floyd counties with us. We'll have some of the top players there as well and some great Zaxby's food. We hope you can come out and join us from 7 to 9 p.m. next Wednesday. If you can't, we'll be live here on the Big X Sports Radio. Each Thursday, we've been talking with a different head coach leading up to the kickoff show at Zaxby's. Today, we've got the opportunity to hear from John Dablo. He's the head coach at Silver Creek, fourth year at the school, 10th year as a high school football coach in Indiana. And Coach Dablo, Silver Creek has really been a program on the rise since the return of football at the varsity level, I guess 7 or 8 seasons ago. 9-3, your final record last year, a trip to the sectional championship game. That was really a centerpiece season for you and the Dragons as you've returned football to Sellersburg.
Oh, absolutely! What a great year we had last year, and you know, it's all the kids. You know, they put in the hard work to get there, and you know, now that we're there, hopefully they got a little taste of a little bit of success, and we can build on that in years to come.
John Dablo, Silver Creek coach, my guest. Anytime you've got a banner year like it was a season ago, a 9-3 record, sectional championship game, losing to East Central, who's been a power in high school football coming out of the southeastern side of the state, my first question is, who do you return and who do you lose? What does the returners look like from that very successful team from last year?
Well, our number one guy is our quarterback that we returned, so Josh Landers, 3-year starter, and kind of the glue that makes our offense go. You know, he'll be key to what we're doing. Obviously, the big loss would be Jacob Garrett, who is now started Monday up at Southern Illinois, official practice up there. So, you know, he's a big loss. But we think we got some kids to fill those shoes. You know, on the offensive side of the ball, Dylan Witt will be a new target. We lost Bennett Bile, our big 6'5 receiver, but Dylan will be taking those shoes. We think he can do a good job. We moved Garen Bauer, one of our offensive line starters, to tight end, and he's done a great job for us. So it may be a different look. May not be able to pound it up the middle quite as much, but we hopefully will be able to move the ball a little bit.
John Dablo, coach at Silver Creek, talking Dragon football with us today on the Hoosier Report. The season starts for you guys August 17th. Right out of the gate with a good rivalry matchup at Charlestown. That's quite a way to start the season, Coach.
That is. You know, last year was the first year the schedule got flipped around a little bit with Scottsburg getting in the league, and we really like it. It's a great test. We like to start with a rivalry game. I think it makes the summer maybe a little more focused for us. But it's tough. You know, our first three are against good quality teams. We go Charlestown, Salem, and Providence. And, you know, in our conference, in our league, those are as three as good as it gets. So hopefully our kids are ready to go, and we're looking forward to it.
Coach Dablo, I'm sure this is true for every coach, probably in every sport that we talk to on this program each year throughout the year, but a feeder system for football, your middle school teams, even your youth leagues, I am sure so very important to continuing the momentum. And especially it's a little different for you guys because I know it's been around for 7 or 8 seasons at the varsity level, but it's still somewhat new, and it's something that some of these kids maybe had the opportunity when they were youngsters, depending on how low down that the program went to get involved, but maybe some haven't. I would have to believe that as you try to build a team that can go 9-3 or better every year, that can get to sectional championship games and perhaps win it and move forward, that feeder system football is very important for what's going on at Silver Creek.
It is. You know, they had a great youth program going back before the varsity. It's kind of where they started. They did it the right way, I guess, and got kids involved. We go all the way down to our kindergarten kids, and K-1, 2 play together, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then our middle school is out 7 and 8. And, you know, our coaches down there, they do a great job of trying to implement what we run at the high school, as well as just teaching the fundamentals. You know, I think that's the key, especially this day and age, and letting them have fun and enjoying the game. I mean, it is a fun game, and it's fun to play. And we hope the kids, you know, learn that and enjoy that. And so far they've sent me some really good players, and I hope they keep sending them my way.
We're talking with John Dablow, the coach at Silver Creek High School. Football season coming up here in just a few weeks. Along those lines, you mentioned the summer, and I liked your comment about maybe the summer being a little more important with a rivalry game against Charlestown right out of the gate. What do you guys do in the summer? How busy of a time is it in the summer? I know each coach kind of puts their different twist on activities and how many practices and how many scrimmages or 7-on-7 activities you're going to play in those months.
Yeah, you know, when Indiana kind of opened it up and allowed you to go scrimmages, we really don't do much 7-on-7 anymore just because we now are allowed to do the 11-on-11. So, you know, June, we try to give them a little bit more time. And we work out and lift and run. And then we take our kids up to camp. We take them away for 3 days and got to play some really good teams up there, kind of see what we got, and then come back for the moratorium and hit it pretty hard for 2 weeks. This year, with school starting later, we were able to give them an extra week off. And hopefully that'll pay dividends when we get to the end of the season. And then we started Monday. So, you know, we're kind of getting back at it. You know, it's kind of one of those things where it's not as much time as we like, but it's more time than the regular student that's not doing anything. And we work our guys hard, and they're committed. And, you know, we do a 90% club for anybody that attends 90% of our summer workouts. And I think we had close to over 40 kids that were there 90% of our workouts this summer. So we think that's fantastic, and we want to keep that rolling.
Talking Silver Creek football today with John Dablow, the head coach for the Dragons. Don't forget our Zaxby's kickoff show next Wednesday from 7 to 9. Coach Dablow and his team will take part in that 2-hour show, and we invite you to come join us at Zaxby's to kick off the high school football season. You talked about your key losses. You talked about a couple key returners, and you don't have to get specific with names unless there's a couple that have really stood out or that you want to mention, but what do some of the replacements coming in at the varsity level look like, and is there anyone, you know, specifically or a specific part of the team that has really looked good in the summer that you think can come in and really aid the varsity team that does return from last season?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned obviously our quarterback and having him back is key. You know, our other main returner, our quarterback on defense, Peyton Myers, he's a 3-year starter at linebacker, and he gets our guys in the right spot, and he's kind of key to what we do on the defensive side of the ball. You know, all of our guys, you know, we've really stressed defense. You know, we had 6 or 7 shutouts last year, which is an incredible year, and I think that one of our keys is to continue to stress defense and make sure that we're training those guys up on the defensive side of the ball. You know, offensively, we got some seniors that we think that we can get the ball to. Jacob Graff, Elijah Bays, two of our returning running backs. And then replacing Jacob Garrett and Brandon Russell will be a combination of Heath Knight and Ben Landers, Josh's younger brother, in the backfield. So we got some new faces around, but we're excited to see what they can do on a Friday night.
Coach Dablo, let's talk about Mid-Southern Conference football for a minute. Been a really good conference. From top to bottom, there have been some really good teams. I know Scottsburg, a new addition to the conference as well. But really, you get some good games for the most part, week in and week out. What do you expect with MSC football this season?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the coaching and the football play, since I have come back to Southern Indiana, especially in the Mid-Southern, has increased exponentially. It is a great conference. We've got some great coaches. And you're right, it's week in, week out. It's getting tougher and tougher. I really think the same names that you hear every year, you know, Brownstown, Coach May, the legend up in Brownstown, he's going to be tough again. North Harrison got a great squad coming back. I think a couple other programs to watch this year. Charlestown, you know, I know they were not where they wanted to be last year, but Coach Hawkins does a great job up there, and I'm sure he's going to get them back. And then I think Salem returns a lot of guys, and they'll be they're going to be a tough, very, very tough game. And then all the other teams, you know, Cordon and Eastern and Scottsburg, I think they're all going to be better than they were last year. So it's going to be a tough, tough road for us, but we're excited for it.
Beyond the Mid-Southern Conference, I know you get a chance to see some of the other local teams in the summer, and obviously you're communicating with coaches and know a lot of people in the area. What kind of year do you expect across Floyd and Clark counties for high school football?
Oh, I think it's going to be a really good year. You know, I'm excited to – I think Providence is going to be really good. They returned a lot of guys, and we got them on the schedule. You know, obviously I'm excited to see Coach Gleasing and what he's going to do down there at Jeffersonville. New Albany is going to be fun to watch. They got a ton of athletes all over the board. Then Coach Bragg up at Floyd, again, excited to see what he can do up there. So, you know, I think it's going to be a really good year. So tell people to come out and watch some high school football.
Coach Dablo, I probably should mention a little more about that Providence game. That was a new game added last season, I believe, if I'm correct, and it really makes sense based on natural rivalries and location that you two, school size as well, would play each other. I'm sure that's a game that both you and Coach Dennison are excited is on the schedule and hopefully continues for some time.
Yeah, we think it was a great pickup for us. We got them on the schedule a couple more years for sure, and hopefully would like to continue that. But, yeah, you're right, the proximity, their tradition in football around here is second to none, really. And to have the opportunity to play them is a great thing. I mean, they're sectional champions last year, and so it's a great game for us.
John Dablo, head coach at Silver Creek. Coach Dablo, thanks for the insight on the Dragons. We will see you again really in less than a week, next Wednesday at Zaxby's. Look forward to learning more about Silver Creek football, hearing from some of your players as well. It'll be a fun night, and look forward to it.
We are. We're looking forward to it, and thank you for all you do for local sports here around the area, and it really helps us out, and we appreciate it.
All right, John Dablo, thanks for coming on with us. And we'll continue this on Thursdays until we have spoke with every high school football coach in Clark and Floyd counties. We're beginning to narrow down on who we still need to speak with, but good to hear about the Dragons. They were a great program to follow last year, and I'm sure that some bright years ahead in their future under the direction of John Dablo, the head coach there. That's just about going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the program. Another reminder, the Zaxby's Kickoff Show next Wednesday. It's August 8th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Zaxby's location in New Albany, 2870 Technology Avenue. It's right there at the intersection of I-265 and Charlestown Road. We'll start with Jeff in 6A. We'll hear from Coach Gleasing. We'll work our way all the way down from 5A, 4A, 3A, 2A to 1A with Rock Creek and Coach Jason Rottenberger. So it'll be a full evening. We'll have the coaches, we'll have the players, and it's a great way to kick off the football season and our coverage, which we'll have, of course, in-depth coverage every Friday night here on the Big X Sports Radio. Also, tonight we've got a special show from 7 to 8:30. I'll be live at Bear Nose in New Albany for a Night of Champions with the New Albany Little League. We'll be celebrating the 10, 11, and of course the 12-year-old championship teams in the state of Indiana Little League Baseball. We'll have the coaches on from the teams. We'll introduce the players. We'll have interviews with the 12-year-old All-Stars, the guys that are headed on to the Great Lakes Regional Tournament coming up on Sunday. It'll be a lot of fun. It's also, I think, a fundraiser for the team that's going to the Great Lakes. And if you know how we support our community stuff here in Southern Indiana, I know Bear knows. I don't know if we'll be on the deck or inside yet, but I know it'll be absolutely packed. And we hope that you can make us out and help out these teams and give them some support. Always fun to hear from the athletes and the coaches. We'll do a lot of that tonight with a Night of Champions show for the New Albany Little League presented by Bear Knows in New Albany. Also, a quick plug. You know I'm a basketball nut, and if you listen to this show every day or you know me, you know that. If you're looking for some basketball tonight, the TBT, we've talked about this some, Chad Gilbert and I have, the basketball tournament, the semifinals tonight, number one seeded overseas elite, who seems to win it almost every year, will take on number three seeded Golden Eagles. They are a Marquette alumni team. That's at 7 o'clock. Then Team Fredette will take on number seven seed Eberlin Drive, which has Christian Watford on the team as well. 9 o'clock championship game is on Friday. That is for $2 million, the prize. There's no big trophy. There's no big award. It's for $2 million is what it's for. And we've talked about how you get a team. We've talked about some of the different rules they have. But if you're looking for some summer basketball, and it's on ESPN, by the way, so it's definitely becoming more mainstream, but check that out. That will be fun to see who wins it and how all that plays out. Thanks for being with us today. Don't forget, if you miss a show, you miss a segment, podcasts are available on SoundCloud and also Apple iTunes. Just search The Hoosier Report. You can also point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. And you can find everything you need to know right there. Until tonight, it's 7 o'clock when I'll be on from Bear Knows for the Night of Champions celebrating the New Albany Little League. Matt Dennison saying thanks for listening today. Don't forget, we'll be back tomorrow on Friday with Jared Morris, Kyle Neddenrip, and more right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. I'll catch you tomorrow.